Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D, welcoming you back on The Fan. We are live for our Friday field trip series today. The field trip stop is Maryland. We are in Rockville, North Bethesda, but it's very important to say Rockville, as we have learned. Sports and Social Bethesda is where we are. You can come on by and kick it with us. We will be here until 6:30. Washington is continuing to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season. It is time for you to plan for your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Kondorian Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament and set up a revocable trust for you and your family if need be. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by going to kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Steelers coming to town. Steelers Commanders on Sunday. The game's on CBS. 1 o'clock kickoff. Our guys, Ian Eagle and Charles Davis, our A-team for this show, will be on the call. Charles Davis joins us now on the guest hotline. Charles, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. It's always great to talk with you guys. And as a bonus, you get the DMV's own Evan Washburn from Annapolis come rolling in to do the sidelines for us in the game. So we're all thrilled to be able to do it. It's fun to be able to watch this Washington team blossom. You know, I mean, obviously from the moment they drafted Jaden Daniels, there's a different spotlight because we're all eager to see how does a rookie quarterback do, especially when you know he's going to be the starter right from the beginning, brand new head coach, brand new GM, a fresh feeling around the franchise because of the new ownership. But let's be honest about it. Everything was all speculation, right? We were all like, well, let's see, can we? And, you know, you guys have been covering it forever, and each time hope has been sold, hope has not lasted very long. But this one feels real, and this one feels like it's going to be on the tracks for a while.
So, Charles, you mentioned blossoming. I think that's a great word. How have they grown over the course of even just this season, right? I mean, this is, you know, we're used to like multi-year things, but it's all happening right before our eyes where it seems like a different guy on offense, non-Daniels division, is making the play that week. How have they grown to you, especially on that side of the football?
You know, for me, it's watching an offensive line that had so many different question marks about it going into the season come together. It's watching an offensive line that was splitting time at left tackle, and then in the last 2 weeks, the starter, Brandon Coleman, can't play against Chicago, so Lucas carries the load as a veteran. Then Lucas hurts his ankle. He can't go in New York, so Coleman comes back, plays, dislocates his fingers, keeps playing. You see where I'm going with this?
Yep.
Now this team is, you know, figuring out a way to, and you've got a team coming in Pittsburgh that embodies next man up because that's all the head coach ever talked about, and I've never been around him. In all my years covering it, okay, now I've been covering it 50 years. I've covered a decent amount of time. I've never had a coach spend less time with us on injuries than Mike Tomlin. Okay? Oh, he's not playing. And he's not dismissive of it, but it's an opportunity for somebody else. Oh, it's his shot. and they just keep moving, right? That's what it feels like here. DQ is very similar that way. Kind of funny because one of DQ's first coaching jobs, I think, was at William & Mary when Mike Tomlin was a senior. So they crossed paths there. But anyway, all that being said, you see the offensive line come together. Zach Ertz at tight end brings not just leadership, and everybody's looking, oh, I got a veteran guy, he's going to lead us. No, he can still play. Okay, let's not dismiss that part of it. Brian Robinson can't play in two ball games. So they figure out the run game with Eckler. And here comes Chris Rodriguez, who is, to me, Brian Robinson light. Similar type of a running style. Not going to break the bigger ones as B-Rob does more often. But he's going to be tough, hard-nosed, get you that yardage you need. And he was ready to go when his number was called. So all of it is just watching it continue to progress. And, you know, look, you get out wide to the wide receivers. McLaurin finally has a quarterback that every week he knows, okay, I'm in good shape on this one, right? But you're just watching these guys all come together, getting opportunities, and getting better. And the message that Dan Quinn brought with him from day one, you can see it solidified. Guys, I'm reading articles, okay, prepping for this game. If Jaden Daniels doesn't say brotherhood every third sentence, and that's not a criticism coming from me, that just told me, okay, DQ's got them, meaning they have bought in, they're locked in, the brotherhood for them is real, and I think that it's going to continue to grow. So to me, that's the blossoming we're seeing, because you watch that team on day one, they got beat by Tampa. Then they started to get it together, you know, winning ball games. They lose a tough one against Baltimore. But I feel like they came out of the Baltimore game like, we shouldn't back down with anyone. We really shouldn't. And I'm not saying they did with Baltimore. But Baltimore was the game that the general public was giving you a mulligan on. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I don't know they can beat Baltimore, right? And if they just show, if they just have a good showing, that'd be great. They came out of that one, in my mind, and what I feel from this team, that they never want to have another moral discussion, moral victory again. I think they kind of got mad at themselves a little bit, because I feel like that maybe they kind of bought into it a little. Like, okay, we just play pretty well. Then they realize we don't have to settle for that. We can be better than that. That's just a feeling. I don't know if I'm right.
Charles Davis on Grant and Danny. In addition to calling games on CBS, he is a draft analyst throughout the pre-draft process over at NFL Network. And I mentioned that, Charles, because we had you on. We talked about Jaden Daniels and the rest of the rookie class. I know you were high on most of the kids that came out, and they've had a very productive start to their careers. But Daniels has just been on a different level. What do you make of his season so far?
It's been crazy, hasn't it? Because we all had that discussion multiple times, if I remember correctly, right? You guys were nice enough to have me on, and we chopped it up a little bit. And the truth of the matter is, if you look at quarterbacks in draft classes, essentially, if one plays well, the other one doesn't. You know, you have me right. How many times do we have the two quarterbacks at the top of a draft class, right? In this case, we've got three, and then we get to four, and we get to five, get to six. One of them's not playing because he's hurt, J.J. McCarthy. One of them's not playing Michael Penix because his team has a veteran guy who's playing really well, and they don't need to play him. That's Atlanta. Everyone else has the ball now. And Drake May, guys, tell me if I'm wrong on this one, please, because I want to make sure my messaging is correct each time. You've known me for a bunch of years. How often am I an advocate of sitting a rookie quarterback? Almost never, right? Like, I'm like, eh. I say most of the time, if you're going to sit him, if you don't sit him for like the entire season, I feel like you've wasted time. You know, and I said, you're all going to go to the podium and say, well, we got a guy here, and we're going to redshirt him, we're going to do this, and then after game two, he's in lineup, or game three. Like, okay, you should have just started him from day one. You could almost say that about Drake May, almost. But here we are. Daniels, I think it's all the things that we keep hearing from the team. It's the maturity. It's the work ethic. And I'm trying to remember who was saying that they saw, oh, it was Malik Nabers with the Giants, because Daniels went and spent some time, and he's with CJ Stroud and crew at another thing, and he came back and he saved a different guy, and that was in college, that it escalated what he already had in him. The work ethic, the study, the wanting to be great, working on the mechanics, all those things, it became an obsession for him. And that's what we see now. because he's the same kid now. I mean, Zach, I'll leave it with this. Zach Ertz told us when we did our last game that he actually stumbled into a meeting room somewhere at some ungodly hour in the morning and just by accident, like, went into the room, and there was Daniels going through his stuff by himself. And he actually asked Zach Ertz if he wouldn't tell anyone else because he wasn't doing anything wrong, but he didn't want to appear to be a tryhard or you know what. This is just what he does.
Yeah.
You know? You know what I'm saying? This is just what he does. He doesn't want the attention for doing what he thinks is his job. Other people, you know how other people are, right? And other people means anyone who can hear our voices, you know who those people are in your life that do something that may be above and beyond, but they make sure everybody knows that they did it.
Great, Charles Davis with us here on G&D. Sorry, Charles.
That's okay.
I want to ask you about Marshawn Lattimore. We know that guy's a baller. When he's healthy on the field, he is a badass. He can do a little bit of everything, right? So, of course, that's the key. But I would love for you to go into what he'll actually mean for this defense, what you've seen them sort of maybe have to do to cover some weak spots, and maybe what he unlocks and might allow them to do here in the future.
When he's healthy and you decide you want to get man coverage or you want to have him affect a top receiver, he's your guy. He's going to be right there. If you're playing your basic stuff and what have you, and a team's trying to run the ball to the perimeter to his side, he's going to be fully involved in run defense. Okay, he's not one of those, hey, I cover, you guys take care of the rest of it. No, he's fully involved. He also has that mentality, I think you've heard DQ talk about the dog mentality, that sometimes we can get a little, you know, it can get overused, but in this case, it's spot on with this kid. He's fully immersed with his teammates, fully immersed in the game of football, wants to be aggressive and attack right from the word go. He's the type that lines up when the huddle breaks for the offense. He's lined up like right on the line where the ball is, right at the line of scrimmage, staring down that receiver, letting him know, I'm going to be here all day, and I want to be here all day. That's the type of a player he is. So now, what does that mean for your overall defense? He can cover like that, like we talked about. It also allows you to become stronger, I think, in your overall defense because Benjamin St. Juice, who's a tough, hard-nosed kid who's giving you everything, but the ball comes his way a lot, okay? He's going to take some pressure off because now he's going to go cover wide receiver too. All right, so you can move him to a spot where he's cornerback too, probably more comfortable for him. Let's see if that helps him. And you get Mikey Samuels still inside the nickel, which is exactly where he was drafted to play, but had to go outside because they needed him. Did pretty well, too, didn't he? He's a heck of a ball player. You've just strengthened your entire back end with one chess move because everyone bounces to the proper spots, and now you go from there. And this team has already been playing pretty well. I mean, I just sat down and did my homework this morning. Since week four, only giving up 147 yards per game through the air.
Wow.
Yep, I actually read that. Yes, I did.
That's crazy.
I mean, that's a crazy number in today's NFL.
That's hard to believe, right? Actually.
That's usually a half, okay? I mean, or close to a half, right? Since week four, they've given 147 yards through the air.
Wow.
And that doesn't mean that they're getting gashed in the run game either, right? Sometimes when you read those stats, you're like, oh, they must be eating you alive otherwise. No, that's not what's happening. They've gotten better overall. This team is playing cohesively, collectively, tough in what they're doing. But a lot of more... Yeah, it never hurts to add talent, especially talent that was used to winning. Think about his 8 years in the league, guys. New Orleans was a perennial team that we talked about. Hey, they could be one of those teams, right? They were in the playoffs. I think he was on the team when they got the horrible call against them with the Rams. You see where I'm going with this? And the last couple of years hasn't been that standard in New Orleans. How happy do you think he is to be coming to a 7-2 team in first place in their division? Number two overall seed as we sit here right now with a chance for bigger and better things, not just this year, but down the road because he sees who's playing quarterback. What version of Marshawn Lattimore you think you're going to get when he's healthy?
Feels like they're getting a player that's going to immediately make the impact that you're talking about, Charles. Charles Davis on G&D here on The Fan. I want to get a thought from you on the Steelers, if you don't mind, because
sure.
Russell Wilson for a few years has played at a level that is being exceeded right now through, I know it's a small sample, but two games in Pittsburgh. I was one of the loudmouths saying you can't go away from Fields. I'm not a big Justin Fields guy, but I just thought he presented more problems with his feet, and we kind of knew what Wilson was going to be as a passer. But he's looked very, very good, and a bad offense suddenly has gotten kind of middle of the pack. What do you make of what's happening there on offense?
Yeah, a couple things. Number one, don't beat yourself up. You weren't the only one. There are a good number of us who said that. Heck, I was sitting there going, I don't know. Like, they're playing pretty well. We can keep unlocking Fields. Are you sure? But the one thing I did know that was that if Mike Tomlin was making that move, he was making it because he's seen his team plateau. Would that be a safe word to use about the Steelers over the last 4 or 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make the playoffs, but they're no threat to beat anyone, right? That's kind of where we've been for the last 4 or 5 years. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016 or something like that. So when you put that all together, I think Mike Tomlin said, you know something? We might have to take a little bit of a gamble for great and see if great is there. And you've got Russell Wilson back playing with the style that made him so terrific in Seattle because Najee Harris has come along. Right? Offensive lines come along, even though they've had injuries. They've been a lot like Washington, where there are a lot of question marks, but it seems to have come together better for them than what people have thought. Harris has gone three straight games with over 100 yards. So now you're throwing off a play action if you're Russell Wilson. Now you're throwing to different windows. George Pickens was thought to be the only dependable wide receiver. He's thrown to other people, including, you know, not enough to the tight end. I think they're going to try and keep opening that up and fire him because he's a really good player. But he's thrown to other people now, and know what it's done? It's actually unlocked Pickens because now everyone has to go, oh, shoot, we can't just go three people to Pickens. We got to go cover some other guys. So he spread the ball around, and the deep ball is back in play, which he throws, and we all know it's a specialty, the moon ball that they call it. But here's the thing. He throws with better anticipation than what you're getting out of Justin Fields at this stage of his career, which means the bigger plays happen. It's no accident that the yards after catch for the Steelers receivers have gone up since Russell Wilson's gone to lineup. Under Justin Fields, Pickens was averaging about 14 yards a catch. Russell Wilson, it's over 20. Yeah, small sample, but that's what Mike Tomlin was saying. I can still be that same team I've been for 5 years if I just stay with Justin Fields. But let me take a shot on a guy that's been great before, and if he gives us that great again with a lot to prove, then maybe my team elevates where we're more than what we were before. And last thing I'm going to say, guys, go back and look at Denver last year. He wasn't bad, okay? He wasn't bad. He's 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He played pretty well for most of the year. They had like a 5-game winning streak in there. They got into playoff contention. I'll just say it. This was a case where the head coach did not want him to be his quarterback.
Yep.
Yeah, it's certainly proven that way. Charles, put you on the spot here for a couple teams. One, who's the best team you've seen? Maybe not talking about Super Bowl winner this year, but like to this point, who's the best team you've seen? And two, who's a team where you go, look out for these guys in a month or two?
On their game, Baltimore's the best I've seen.
Mm.
On their game. Problem is, they haven't been on their game every time.
Right.
But when they're at their highest level, and I still think they'll fix their defense. I think their biggest problem is, you guys saw them up close and personal. Their pass rushers aren't getting home enough, and the secondary is taking the brunt of it, if that makes any sense to people out there. Normally, those pass rushers get home more often and affect the quarterback. Not the way they have in the past, but I don't think that it's over yet. It's Baltimore. They figure it out. That's the best I've seen. I really think that them matching with Kansas City would be a heck of a matchup if they managed to get there again. And then I don't know that Baltimore wouldn't pull it out this time. The team that in a month or so, I think they've already kind of started it, although they had a hiccup along the way, and it's Atlanta. You know, the hiccup being Seattle whacked them a couple weeks ago. Okay, and they're going to look back on that one and go, what just happened here? That's a better football team. Cousins is playing really well for them. They have the receivers that they can run around with. Raheem Morris is the right coach for that team, and they're playing much better on the defensive side of the ball. I just think they're that type of a team. Plus, they're in the division. That right now they hold a 2-game, might even be more, advantage. But the only team that can really press them is Tampa, right? In the NFC South, they've beaten Tampa twice already. They're in good shape.
Charles, speaking of good shape, you and Ian Eagle will be in good shape at Northwest Stadium to see a really quality football game. I will be the portly fella not in good shape coming into the booth to say hello before the game. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Please come by and say hello. It's always a pleasure to see to talk with you guys, and thank you always for having me on. And let me tell you something. This is no hyperbole. We're fired up to get there for this game. I mean, we were fired up last time because we were excited to see Jaden, and then he lasted one series. So one of my favorite people ever, Marcus Mariota, came in and played really well that day, and I was so excited. I've loved Marcus. I've known him since college. He's just one of my favorite people of all time. But this week, we get to see Jaden Daniels and that offense go against an offense that's revitalized in Pittsburgh, and you're going against a defense that has big-time credentials. Like, you know, you got to prove it every week. What a great week for Washington to prove it against a bona fide team that, if they do prove it, the whole league goes, oh, you did that against Pittsburgh. That means something.
Watch Charles and the crew, 1 p.m. on Sunday on CBS. Thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you guys always. Thanks a lot for being so great to me. I appreciate it.
That's our guy, Charles Davis. Watch him and Ian Eagle on the call, 1 o'clock from Northwest Stadium this Sunday in Landover, Maryland. Next, we continue our dive into the Commanders and the Steelers and our look at Week 10 in the NFL from Sports and Social Bethesda, live on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny. We are live on The Fan. We are at Sports and Social in Bethesda. We'll be here until 6:30 today. Sorry, guy. Momar is out and about. He is in the Grant and Danny Listener League.
Oh, yes.
And he's on a four-game winning streak.
Bit of a heater.
And he's getting Christian McCaffrey back this week. He was 1-4. He is 5-4. And he's getting his first pick and his best player back.
That's
this
what
week.
You're trying to do. He's trying to stay alive to get reinforcements. I had a 1-1 draft. And that team is 0-9. That is an 0-9 team, an 0-9 team.
That's how to do. That's hard to do, is what I meant to say.
Sure is. I would have been better off not starting people. I would have been better off.
Have you
been the same?
Have you put your lineup in every week?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you've lost 9 times.
9 times this semester. And 9 times.
1-0.
Yeah. That's one of my 7 leagues. This is my worst fantasy season. Oh, Danny, sure. The number one ever, worst ever, least fun I've ever had playing fantasy sports this year.
Somebody had a lot of fun in fantasy last night. If they had Ja'Marr Chase or Lamar Jackson or Joe Burrow or any combination thereof, last night's numbers for the superstars playing in that game were outrageous.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, I think he was better than his stat line, by the way, on Thursday Night Football. But with the Bengals on the road in Baltimore, they've now lost on the road to the Chiefs and to the Ravens by 1 point in both of those games.
Both of those games.
And otherwise, you flip that, they're 6-4, they're playoff bound. Now they're on the outside looking in and fighting it. Uphill battle here. Burrow threw for 428 and threw 4 touchdowns last night on Thursday Night Football. And in that game,
Ja'Marr Chase, 17 targets, 11 catches, 264 yards, 3 touchdowns. Can you imagine having to go up against Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow? And or Lamar Jackson, who, by the way, threw 4 touchdowns and threw for 290 in the game. He was really good as well.
Yeah, I could. My opponent in the league I care about the most, the big money. You know who he added? So funny. He had Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. So I'm kind of thinking about not fielding a lineup this week in protest.
That handcuff worked out favorably for your guy.
That's the nice little stack. But, yeah, just sort of worked out that way in the draft form. But Burrow, to me, I think you said it very well. He was actually better than the stats, if that's even possible. Because the stats were immaculate. What do you think of Joe Burrow as a quarterback? Put that game on where there's the sliding around in the pocket, the slight maneuvering, always looking to throw, the accuracy, the zipping it when he had to. I mean, that was a clinic from Joe Burrow.
It's one of those games where on the box score it says completion, gain of 11, first down, or whatever. And then you watch the throw, and it's like ball placement, up over top of outstretched hands, beautifully thrown, contested 11-yard reception. He couldn't have been better. He has been magnificent all season long. I would say on a very short list of the best quarterbacks in the league. And Jaden Daniels, by the way, is on this list.
Hello there.
If you're talking about right now the guys who have been best this season in the NFL, Daniels is in that top 5, top 7, wherever it is. Lamar's up there. Burrow's up there. I think those have probably been maybe the 2 best quarterbacks in the NFL this season. Daniels is not far behind them, and he's somewhere in that vicinity. Quick updates, both, oddly enough, involving our producers. The first, a Darius Dameron update.
Yep.
Our listeners are very nice. We've always known that about them.
This is true.
We love our listeners. It's why we wanted to come out and about on these Fridays and do field trips. It's why we're out here at Sports and Social in Bethesda, which is actually Rockville.
Rockville, Bethesda.
We're here meeting up with listeners because we like our listeners. Multiple listeners today, multiple, have brought Darius delicious treats that he was not able to eat until he found out yesterday that he's no longer allergic to shellfish or peanuts. Ladies and gentlemen, Darius Dameron.
That's right.
This guy right here. He went 20 years without eating shellfish, 20 years without eating peanuts, and live on the show yesterday in a reveal, only heard exclusively on Grant and Danny, this guy can now eat both.
That's a big deal. Life-changing stuff.
He's got Reese's Cups next to him. Now, I think he's still not eating them because he's waiting. Even though the doctor gave him a note that said he can eat them, you're still waiting for more confirmation?
I'm still a little nervous. So I called today. Of course, she wasn't there. So I guess I'll have to wait till Monday to confirm. But just want to play it safe. You know, it's been so long.
It's just your life.
It's just my death. Life.
You know what's better than dying? Living.
Living.
Living's
fun. Oh,
and Pone's dying. Yeah.
I've always said this. Like, being alive and
so
breathing
good.
And just functioning.
I enjoy that part.
So much better
than
dying.
It's so much better.
But it's going to be great once I am able to die.
It's going to be great.
So thank you to those that brought me some Reese Cups, too.
Yeah. You're a popular man. People are happy for you. And then our other producer is Ryan Clary, who's back in our D.C. studios holding down the fort in Half Street. Ryan, I bring you up because when you were away, it's probably too late to throw this on you now, but you were out in Seattle on a nice little trip that you had last week to the Pacific Northwest, and we found out that the Nationals were hosting their 2025 Racing Presidents auditions tomorrow at Nationals Park, and we had decided as a show that we wanted you to go over there and take part in the festivities for us. Are you able to do that?
So, okay, unfortunately, I will actually be in Harper's Ferry tomorrow morning.
Mm.
I will be in Harper's Ferry. What time is this, though?
9 to 1.
This is a 9 a.m. situation.
Oh,
I don't think
gosh.
You're in Harper's Ferry at 9 a.m.
We are leaving at 8:30 in the morning on Saturday. I'm an early bird. I get up at 6 a.m. basically every single morning, and I never knew about it. I would have loved to do it, but we have reservations in Harper's
Ferry.
Sounds
like you'd love to do it. It does. It really sounds like he's trying.
He's heartbroken about not being able to go.
A lot of talk about Harper's Ferry. Not a lot of talk about putting on that racing president's costume.
In fairness, Rhino did tell me that he had this Harper's Ferry trip planned, and it was kind of this thing and his special lady friend that they were going to go do, and he was very excited about it. He did tell me it was on the books. It's not just I'm going to be in Harper's Ferry tomorrow morning at that time. What time is it at? Oh, I'm there at that same time.
Now, me personally, I've never heard word one about Harper's Ferry. So I will take your word for it that this is something that's real. But he just got back from Seattle. I mean, we're running it back pretty, Maybe we could just break up all the trips and we could do a little racing president situation.
You race as a president, yeah. I've done that. I did that. I did that thing a long time ago. You remember that?
I don't, but I'm sure it was fun.
Yeah, it happened.
Okay.
Yeah, like this was the old way of doing things at the radio station, where somebody told somebody Danny should do that, and I said, well, what am I doing? Am I going as media? Am I just going as a pudgy zilch? What am I doing? And somebody waved their hand at me. I'm not kidding you. A person who I considered an authority figure at that time waved their hand at me and said, do some shtick.
Yeah.
This was the marching order. These are the instructions. I'm like, okay, is this for the website? Is this for my own Twitter account? Like, am I writing a story? Am I talking about this with anybody at any point in time ever again? The answer to those things were do some shtick. So hopefully it's a little bit better now.
So, Clary, 9 a.m., you'll be there, it sounds like?
9 a.m. I mean, I would love to. If I knew about this, if you guys would have texted me, I would have made plans outside of that morning hour. But we have breakfast plans and get biscuits and gravy down in Harper's Ferry, go for a little hike there. It's going to be a beautiful day, 65 degrees, sunny. I mean, it sounds great to do a president's race, but I didn't know until just now at 3:37.
The Harper's Ferry thing sounds nice.
It really is nice. Oh, I
like,
love it out there.
Elegant and lovely and wonderful and cute. The only thing that sounds better, skits and bits, racing presidents.
Bits.
Nats Park.
Commitment.
So if you're going out there tomorrow, sounds like Ryan will be there right at 9 a.m.
He's like putting on the Thomas Jefferson suit. He's like, no, but I had a reservation. Then he can't talk anymore.
Exactly. Harper's Ferry. You don't hear anymore about Harper's Ferry.
Swallow it.
As he's running in the racing president's race. But that's our guy, Ryan Clary, explaining it all on Grant and Danny. All right, let's get you a Commander's spotlight as we get ready for Washington and Pittsburgh. These are some of the players we're keeping a close eye on this weekend over in Landover, Maryland.
I'll start very quick, simple, easy. Spotlight Jaden Daniels. You're going up against the best defense you've played, a havoc-wreaking, pressure-inducing, turnover-causing, great pass rush defense. There are playmakers all over the field with these guys. It's T.J. Watt. It's Micah Fitzpatrick. It's, add Preston Smith to this group. It's Highsmith. There's so many guys that can hurt you and burn you, baiting you into things. This is the game that will test all of your mettle, right? Because you've been outstanding, Jaden Daniels, at taking care of the football, doing pretty much everything else, everything but selling the popcorn at these games. This is the toughest test. If you stay ahead of the sticks and don't put the ball in harm's way, you got a great chance to beat the Steelers.
Maybe the most important player on the team for tomorrow, or Sunday, rather, Andrew Wiley. Andrew Wiley is going to go head-to-head with T.J. Watt a whole bunch. Watt often lines up on the left side of the formation. Now, they'll move him around. I'm sure he'll rush off the right edge as well. But there's a lot of T.J. Watt opposite Wiley, the right tackle. For that matter, I'll throw Brandon Coleman in as well. Coleman, last time out, got 100% of snaps for the first time at left tackle. The rookie out of Texas, Christian, acquitted himself really, really well. I thought he was not only admirable, but terrific.
Yeah, really.
Didn't allow a single pressure against a pretty elite pass rusher in Brian Burns, top 10 or so in the sport. Top two, maybe one or so in the sport, is T.J. Watt. I mean, you're going up against arguably the best pass rusher in football, Wiley, Coleman. They're going to be helped by chipping backs. They're going to be helped by tight ends. But occasionally, it is one-on-one time. And you got to find a way to not allow him to wreck the game.
Spotlight Brian Robinson. Been nursing some health issues here over the last few weeks. In and out of the lineup a little bit, a lot of missing practice. Tried to give it a go this past week. Couldn't do it, obviously. They were able to fill in with Chris Rodriguez and Austin Eckler and your usual dose of Jeremy McNichols. This is a game where you need him. And you look at it, you go, you want to run the ball against the Steelers? Normally, I'd go, what a stupid fool's errand. But I want to soften up this pass rush a little bit. I want to kind of get out of my game plan, not be afraid of them. Let's push these guys around. Let's get them on their heels. Let's get them flat-footed a little bit. And Brian Robinson can really help that. I don't think you're going to see a lot of explosive runs, but I want him to be the guy that turns 3 into 4.5, the guy that turns a 1-yarder into a 3-yarder. Stay ahead, manageable down and distance. Don't let that group tee off on the pass rush. You'll be a lot better off.
Yeah, I am worried about the ongoing, seemingly never-ending Brian Robinson recovery situation that continues to develop for the Commanders. I mean, again, you know, the media's out there and he's not doing anything today, right? Like, we thought he was going to be back in 100% last week. This is the second time, though, we've had an injury with him linger into Saturday, then Sunday, and you weren't really sure. Didn't play in the second half of the Carolina game when he was questionable, then didn't play at all this past week. I do think he'll go, but to your point, if he plays, you know, they need him to help a whole bunch. We mentioned Benjamin St. Juste earlier in the show because Marshawn Lattimore is not going to play. He's been ruled out. How about BSJ as a player to put under the spotlight for the Commanders? Him versus George Pickens is going to be a pretty big matchup, I would say, when the Steelers have the football.
That is a very good one. Give me Dante Fowler Jr. Keep that winning ways going. Keep the havoc going. I want to see him flush Russell Wilson. I want to see him knock him off a spot a couple times. Maybe create one more turnover. Go a long way.
Dante Fowler has a sack in five of the last six games he's played in, including six in his last five overall. Sack against the Browns, two against the Ravens, sack against the Panthers, and then two sacks against the Giants. Grant and Danny with you out and about on a Field Trip Friday. It is a sports and social live broadcast in Bethesda. Come on by. We'll be here until 6:30. It is a Friday, which means next, let's win off the field. Call us now at 800-636-1067. Don't do it for me or Danny. Do it for Bruce Allen. And tell us what little things gone right to make you smile today that nobody else would care about. You're listening to The Fan. Sports and Social Bethesda, G&D on the Fan. It's a football Friday. We're getting ready for the Commanders and the Steelers. We're also getting ready for the Caps and the Penguins tonight.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
Your boy will be making his way into the nation's capital tonight. Capital One Arena to go see the game, hopefully. Traffic permitting?
Traffic permitting.
I don't do after puck drop arrivals. You know that
about me. That's not something that you do. You need to be with your cookie.
Yeah.
In your seat.
That's right.
You need to fog up that glass right before that puck drops.
I'm not on the glass tonight.
It's not true, right?
I'm not always on the glass. I very rarely get on the glass. It's nice when it happens. It's a nice treat, if you will.
You know when it happens is when the Capitals have home games. That's when you end up there.
You always say stuff like this. That's not.
I do?
Just not true.
I'm always saying this?
Frequently.
Hmm.
Field Trip Fridays live from Sports and Social Bethesda this week, brought to you by the Tailgate Must-Have Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, Surfside Lemonade and Vodka. Available in convenient variety, 8-packs. Each can only has 100 calories. This is the way to go at your tailgate. Tailgate like a champ. Ask for it at your local bar and liquor store. You got to be 21 to drink it, obviously. It is time to figure out how you are winning off the field. Don't do this for me and don't do this for Danny. Do it for Bruce because
Please.
Bruce made today possible. As bad as it was for as long as it was, we really, frankly, had nothing to do with today being good. But he was there.
He was there.
And we should never forget.
Yeah, he said words.
He said things and he did things and he made being a fan not fun. And we have to remember that so that we know how wonderful it is now. That is why we went off the field. Danny, give the people an example.
So the wife had to go out of town, like one of those like 24-hour out of town work type things.
Oh, yeah, the quick trip.
Yeah, where she's like, I got to go to Connecticut. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm a grown up. I can deal. So last night, fine. My oldest had his first basketball practice. My youngest and I went to 7-Eleven during it. We got a Slurpee. Everything was great, right? Just dadding it up, just doing a good dad thing. This morning, it's about 8:33. We walk out of the door at about 8:40 to walk the boys to school. That's our normal time to leave the house. My oldest goes, and I quote, did you make blank, my kid, did you make us lunches? Nope, I didn't. I totally forgot to do that. Because he reminded me, I then, you know, get some food into their little packages and their containers and their lunchbox and stuff, and they didn't starve at school because my oldest reminded me.
Do they have the opportunity for lunch where you could just give them $3 or something?
But I didn't even realize. Like, he's like there was no capability. Like, I wouldn't have thought of that. I wouldn't have thought to put anything in the lunchboxes.
Understood.
Like, there would have been no food for them. Had he not said, hey, did you do anything to prepare us for the fact that we have to eat today?
Yeah.
Idiot.
The child.
And my 11-year-old child did. And I was like, oh, my God. So I made lunches and we got to school on time. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field?
I wonder if there's got to be something where, like, he's like, hey, my dad forgot to pack me a lunch. He just goes through the line.
Yeah, and they'll bill me or something. But even still, yeah. It's like, I'd rather not have him do that. Sit with your buddies, you know, have your snacks.
We are out and about. There are people wearing Commanders gear. They're excited about football this coming weekend. Everybody is talking about how happy they are to be Commanders fans. And it's a joyous Friday with beautiful weather. Yeah. Therefore, we are.
Winning off the field.
That is how I will do it. Let's go to Rich and only on line one. Richard, how are you?
Rich.
What's going on, boys? How you feeling today?
Hey, buddy.
Very well.
By the way, I agree with Danny. I've never not seen Grant on the glass at home games, ever. So
there's a lot of places I sit. The glass is just one of them, very occasional.
Well, no, Rich, in fairness, he's right. Because, like, sometimes it's in one seat on the glass, and other times it's the seat next to it on the glass. Like, he varies it up.
Ah, I got it.
You know what I mean?
Okay. That's absolutely right. So the other night, I'm sitting around just watching the Ravens-Bengals game, decide to dig into my kid's candy stash, you know, since it's a garbage bag full, and I pull out a full-size whatchamacallit bar. Haven't had that in years, therefore
yeah.
I was.
Winning off the field.
That there's a victory, my friend. Sean's in Falls Church on Grant and Danny. Something that made you smile, somebody else might not care about, Sean.
Well, I appreciate it. There's not a lot of people that care about me, but I appreciate you guys just taking my call. That's
right.
Normally where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I am on chore 6 of 7 currently for the pregnant wife, and she has told me that a drink and a meal is waiting for me at home. Therefore, I am...
Winning off the field.
And there it is.
He's almost done with the chores list.
You know how daunting a big list of 7 items is? And you're just like, this is good. I mean, you, of course you can do it. You're an adult. But it's like, God, each little step feels like the hardest step you've ever taken into a headwind, climbing Mount Everest. And now you're almost done, and you've got foodstuffs waiting on you?
It's just overwhelming, and you don't know where to start.
Or even start. What if I just watch TV?
Let's go to Vinny, who is calling in to tell us how he's winning off the field. What's up, Vin?
What's going on? What's going on, guys? How you doing today?
Doing
good,
great.
Buddy.
Thanks for the call.
All right, man. I just feel like I'm winning off the field today in the honor of Darius, man. I feel real good that my man can eat Reese's Cups. I feel good that my man can eat shellfish. I feel good that my man can go ahead and eat some peanuts and enjoy them at the game now, man. So for me, to Darius, I am.
Winning off the field.
That is a very classy gentleman.
That's the most selfless
yes.
winning off the field we have ever had.
I would even say shellfish.
Oh, thank you.
Very shellfish of you, and also selfless.
Yes, that was very, very, very sweet of you, Vinny. I appreciate that.
He's winning off the field. He's so happy that you get to enjoy your life more that he feels better today.
Spending his winning off the field on me is truly an honor. I can't describe it any other way.
It's like wasting one of your dreams or your prayers. You know?
Right. I got 3 wishes. Here's one.
Yeah.
Wow.
One is that Darius can eat shellfish again.
Wow.
How about that?
The people are fired up for you.
Like, I love you, but I don't know that if I only got 3 wishes, would I have used one of those 3 on the shellfish thing?
I would have given you peanuts or shellfish, but not both.
Yeah, not both. That's indulgent.
I would have given you one of my wishes.
The outpouring of support for this has just been through the roof. I can't believe it.
I mean, the people are in. Now, at some point, it would be nice if you ate one of these things.
It would be nice,
rather
yes.
than just continuing to not eat them.
Just hoarding them.
But anytime you're ready, maybe we should do it on the show. But then again, we don't want you to die.
Yeah, but then it's like, ooh.
In fact, our boss told us behind the scenes just not to have you do that for lawsuit purposes. He wants you to do it at home.
So that's
kind of where we're at on
that. Yeah, because like they'll have audio of us being like, eat it!
Yeah.
You know?
It's time.
And then who's responsible? It's the guy that said eat it.
We've got Iron Maiden tickets for you at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock coming up on G&D ahead of the Beltway Blitz. We'll scout the opponent, Max Starks, at 5 o'clock. The Commanders and the Steelers just 3 days away. Chance to get to 8-2 for the first time since 1991. You're listening to The Fan.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.